This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كيف حالك شيخ؟
الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله. Ready when you are, إن شاء الله.
الحمد لله.
Okay, let's begin, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to our weekly lesson of virtues of Islam with our honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh and the Sheikh can begin, inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا الشيخ سالم العمري.
بارك الله فيك وجزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Fadail al-Islam, Virtues of Islam. And we are talking about the methodology of the deviant sects in Islam and how they went wrong. Among the characteristics of such methodology, deviant methodology, that they use the qiyas, and I want you to concentrate and focus and take notes. They use the qiyas analogy and apply analogy to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the issues related to the creed, related to the aqidah, to the belief. So they are using al-aqyas al-aqliyah, or this analogical reasoning, or syllogism, qiyas. And before we delve to the topic, the qiyas, as you know, is one of the sources of the Sharia. The sources of the Sharia, the Kitab and the Sunnah, and the qiyas and the Ijma'. These are the four main sources that are agreed upon. There are other which are disputable or debatable. So the qiyas is there in Islam, in the Sharia, and can be used in the absence of a clear-cut evidence, or in the absence of any textual evidence from the Kitab of the Sunnah. So what is qiyas? The ulama, they say, الحاق فرع بأصل في حكم شرعي لعلة جامعة بينهما. الحق فرع بأصل لعلة جامعة بينهما. What does this mean? The meaning in English that applying the stated legal ruling of the original case to the new case, providing that there is a common illa cause shared between them. We will elaborate. So the qiyas that there is a new issue, new problem, new matter, and the jurist or the scholar is asked about it, and he has to answer because the questioner wants to know what is the Islamic ruling regarding this particular issue. So what the jurist or the scholar will do, he will look into the Quran first, if there is any direct evidence for that, or answer for it. He didn't find anything in the Quran addressing that particular, specifically that particular issue, he will see the Sunnah. Is there anything addressing this issue? If there is no direct and explicit evidence in the Sunnah, there is nothing regarding this particular matter, then he will resort to the qiyas, analogy. Is there any issue resembles this issue? So there is a resemblance. If there is an issue, and that is what we call the asl, the basic ruling, asl. Because now I am going to give the ruling of that legal ruling, which is clearly spelled out and mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah. I will apply that ruling to this new issue, the new problem. Because there is resemblance between the new issue and the issue that already addressed. So all they have something common denominator, which we call the illah, the cause. Now, for example, what is the ruling for the khamr, alcohol in Islam? It's haram, we know that. With the ruling of khamr, drinking wine, drinking khamr, alcohol is haram. Now, there are other drinks that have the same effect, or there are other drugs that have the same effect of the khamr or the liquor, or maybe worse. Okay. So what's the ruling of the marijuana or the opium, hashish? If you open the Quran, you'll not find something like that. The Sunnah, the same thing. Then the ulama, they look into what is common between the khamr and the other drugs? The effect. The khamar intoxicates, drugs they intoxicate. So they have something common between them. There's a common denominator. What is the ruling then of the legal ruling of the original case, the asl, which is the original case? It is haram, the khamar. Then drugs are haram. Definitely are haram because they have the same impact, the same effect on the health of a human being. On the health of a human being, then it is haram. Though it is not mentioned by name. And this is the beauty of the Islamic law. There is this flexible mechanism, and there are general rules that can be applied for any new issue. So the qiyas, the analogy you resort to in the absence of an explicit evidence addressing that particular new matter or new issue. هو إلحاق فرع. The فرع is the new issue, the new problem. Okay, what is the ruling of cloning? Cloning human beings. It's haram. It's haram. Cannot clone a human being. Because it goes against the basics and the principles of the Sharia. Because the way that human beings are born and produced through the normal, we know the husband and wife and marriage, etc., not by just taking a cell and clone it because it carries the characteristics of the original human being or the donor, whatever, and then you clone another human being. That is not allowed. Okay. So always the ulama will look into the principles of the Sharia and the general rules of the Sharia, and now the new issue, this new matter, problem, they will look and see, is there any resemblance? And is there a common illah? This is very important, the cause, why this is prohibited, why Allah prohibited the khamr. So Allah prohibited the khamr because it intoxicates. So now this is a new drink. Does it intoxicate? Yes. The ruling is the same. This drug intoxicates. It affects the mind. Yes. Then it is haram. The same. No difference whatsoever. So this is the qiyas. هُوَ إِلْحَاقُ فَرْعٍ بِأَصْلٍ. You have something in you, X. You don't know the ruling of it. And they know the ruling of Y. Then X and Y, they have to have something in common. Is there anything, any property or characteristics common? Then the ruling will be of the new issue will be the ruling of the original case. The ruling of the new case will be the ruling of the original case. On the condition that there is a resemblance, there is something common, there is a shared denominator between the two. So this is the qiyas, and the qiyas is only resorted to in the absence of the text. There is no textual evidence, neither in the kitab, in the Quran, nor in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Explicit evidence. So this is the meaning of the qiyas. And now, what the deviant sects will just see how they went wrong. They started applying this analogy, this qiyas, to the attributes of Allah. To the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here you cannot use the qiyas. Why? Because there is nothing common between the attributes of Allah and our attributes. So they don't share anything apart from the name. That's it. And that's due to the nature of the language. So Allah's attributes are not like ours. So how can you apply the analogy and make Allah's attributes analogous to our attributes? That is wrong. You cannot do that. Because they are totally different, Allah's attributes. There's nothing like unto him. It is all hearing or saying. So then the logic cannot be applied. You cannot use it here. The qiyas cannot be applied to Allah's attributes. That's where they went wrong. So because they started doing the following. Oh, man has a hand, and the Quran says Allah has a hand. Oh, then Allah cannot have a hand. Why? Because they said, this is what where they went wrong. Man has a hand, and the hand is an organ, and this organ, man is in need of it and dependent on it, and Allah is not in need of any organ or any limb. So we cannot say Allah has a hand. Well, Allah has two hands. When Allah says about himself, do not coin and similitudes for me. Do not set parables for me. Do not give examples for me. So now you are likening and making Allah's attributes like the attributes of the human being. When he tells you, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, there's nothing like unto him, and he's all seeing, all hearing, all seeing. And his attributes, just like that. Whatever is said or believed about the essence of Allah, the person of Allah, we should believe also and should apply for his attributes. Because Allah's names, they have meanings, and the meanings of the names are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his attributes definitely are unique, just like his person, his essence is unique. Glory be to him. So to apply the qiyas, that is absolutely rank because there's nothing common. So the qiyas, in order to be acceptable and applicable, there should be something common, the illah. They have this common denominator and they share something in common. And that's only for the, can be for things that are created. Things that are created, if they share something, yes, the qiyas can be used. But to have, to compare the creature and the creation to the creator, there's nothing common. So how can you apply the syllogism or analogy? The qiyas, you cannot. Okay. Subhanallah. This even the analogy with the qiyas has its own deficiency. And sometimes the qiyas can be wrong. And the conclusion, because you see, in the qiyas, you have two premises or two conditions, and then conclusion. For example, if I tell you, all men will die. All human beings will die, will perish. Zayd is a man. All men will die. Zayd is a man. So these are the two premises. All men will die. Zayd is a man. Therefore, Zayd will die. Because he's a man. Which is true. This is true. The conclusion is correct. Because he is a man, he's a human being, and all human beings are going to die. So he's one of them, naturally, he's going to die. But now listen to this. If I tell you, the monkeys love bananas. Monkeys, of course, we know that monkeys, they love bananas. Alex, with all due respect to anyone whose name is Alex, or X person, okay? Alex loves bananas. Monkeys, they love bananas. Alex loves bananas. Therefore, Alex is a monkey. Can we say that? Can we conclude that he's a monkey because he loves banana? No. This does not necessitate, because he loves banana, that he should be a monkey. Cannot say that. So the qiyas, in order for it to be valid and the conclusion to be valid, the premises should be correct. Yes, Alex loves banana, but he's a human being. And monkeys are animals, other types of animals. So how can then a human being becomes a monkey? He's not a monkey. So the qiyas, my dear brothers and sisters, in order to apply it, that you have to have the conditions should be fulfilled. First of all, that this in you case, which we call the farah. Farah means the branch. Asl means the origin. So now I have this origin, I have a branch. So I want to know the ruling of this new case of the branch in comparison to the origin. So I want you to memorize the definition of qiyas. هو إلحاق فرع بأصل في حكم شرعي لعلة جامعة بينهما، لعلة جامعة بينهما، إلحاق فرع بأصل في حكم شرعي لعلة جامعة بينهما. Which means applying the stated legal ruling of the original case to the new case. Because I want to find the ruling for the new case. So I am comparing it to the original case. That is the khamr. That is my original case. That is my asl. That is my origin. And now I have other things. See, I want to know the ruling. I have marijuana, I have opium, I have other drugs. Okay. So here I want to make comparison between the two. Is there anything in common? Is there a common characteristics? And that is the illah. The illah. Because in order to apply the qiyas, first of all, you need to know the illah. The illah, the reason, the cause. Why Allah prohibited the khamr? Because it intoxicates. So the illah is known. Why Allah prohibited eating lions, tigers, leopards? Birds of prey, vultures, falcons, eagles. So I have to know the reason why they are Allah prohibited the Muslims from eating such animals. So the Sunnah explained to us, because they live on meat and they are flesh eaters, these wild animals. They eat flesh, meat. So all wild beasts that have fangs, kulli ذي ناب من السباع, ناب, fangs, which they use to tear the prey. وكل ذي مخلب من الطير, every bird that has claws, that is, he uses, the bird uses such claws to catch its prey. So now any animal that has fangs and eats meat is haram for us to eat. Now, you find an animal and you want to know the ruling, so you know the ruling. Any animal that lives on meat, has fangs, kulli ذي ناب, from among the wild beasts, then it is haram to eat. Any bird has claws and to catch its prey, like falcons, vultures, owls, the name it, or they are haram. Okay, so you need to know the illah, the cause. And the illah, sometimes it is clearly mentioned, like the khamr, and sometimes the scholar has to dig deep, search to find the illah, the real cause and the real reason. So he will put a list of possibilities. Maybe it is haram due to this. Then he will go and check and start ruling out until he arrives at the real reason and cause, the illah. So the deviant sects, they use the qiyas for Allah. For the attributes of Allah. And because of that, they started negating and denying the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it is wrong to apply the qiyas. Because Allah is ghaib and seen to you. So how can you compare? Because in the qiyas you make comparison. How come now you make comparison between Allah who's unseen to you with something seen? So the qiyas is totally wrong from the beginning. And that's where many deviant sects, they went wrong. So the qiyas, my dear brothers and sisters, it is one of the proofs of adilla or evidence, okay, of the sharia, one of the sources of the ahkam. The ulama and the jurist resort to in the absence of an explicit textual proof in the Kitab and Sunnah. And the proofs, I want you to focus here, the proofs that the qiyas is permissible in the sharia, and it is one of the sources of the sharia, kitab and sunnah and qiyas and ijma', the consensus, ijma', consensus of the Muslim scholars, where they agree upon a particular issue, that it is haram, it is makruh, it is etc. Because this ummah will never agree upon misguidance, as mentioned in the narration. So the majority of the scholars, they accept the qiyas, apart from the Zahiriyya, the madhab of Ibn Hazm and Dawud al-Zahiri, they do not accept the qiyas. Okay, they use only the, they said everything is there in the kitab and the sunnah, no need to resort to the qiyas. But this opinion is so weak, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this is what I want you now to focus and concentrate, he told us about the qiyas in Surah Ash-Shura. Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 17. Allah says, Allahu alladhi anzal al-kitaba bil-haqq wal-mizan. Wama yudrika la'alla as-sa'ata qareeb. Wal-mizan. It is Allah who has revealed the book with the truth and the balance of justice. You never know, perhaps the hour is near. So Allah says here that he sent down the mizan. Anzal al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan. Two things. The kitab and the mizan. And what does the mizan do, the balance? What does the balance do? The balance has two pans. In one, you place the known weight on one side and the unknown weight on the other side. So you have known and unknown. And then you make the comparison between the known and the unknown, and that is qiyas, no doubt. That's qiyas. I have original case, like the khamar, and they have unknown case, opium. And they want to know the hukum, the ruling. I want to make comparison between the two. And I found out they have something in common, and that is the intoxication. So that's what the mizan does. You have something unknown and you have something known. You have the known weight and you don't know this much. You go to the grocer, to the grocery shop, say, give me 1 kilogram tomatoes. So he'll put one piece of metal written in it, 1 kg. And then he started putting the tomatoes until the needle is in the middle and the two bands are at the same level. He'll tell you, this is your tomatoes. This is 1 kilogram. And by the way, these weights, you know that in France, there is an international standard there. So for the kilogram, there is this bulk of metal that is 1 kilogram, this length of piece is 1 meter, the standards. So all the standards and the weights people are using with reference to the original measures, okay, which are in France, the SI, okay, that is the standard. So the meter, kilogram, etc. We have in Islam before that standardization, which is the regarding the measures. The Sa', the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made it a standard. The prophetic Sa', when you want to make zakat, you give the zakat of Ramadan, the zakat al-fitr, sadaqat al-fitr, it is 1 sa'. So how much is that sa'? It's 3 handfuls by the handful of the every person. And the prophetic sa', 3 handfuls of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you go to Medina, you can buy the sa', the prophetic sa', which is a measure, standard. And then when you want to give the sadaqah of the fitr, you just fill it and give it out. And then the mud of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is standardized. And you can get the mud and you know how much it is. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan. So the mizan here is the qiyas, is the tool that by which we measure something known to something unknown. So the qiyas is mentioned in the book of Allah. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. The meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, on that day, we will roll up the heavens like a scroll of writings. Just as we produced the first creation, so shall we reproduce it. That is a promise binding on us. We truly uphold our promises. SubhanAllah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِ. السجل للكتب. On that day, subhanAllah, glory be to Allah, the heavens will be rolled up. How you scroll, okay, a scroll of writings. And that's how the heavens will be rolled up. Then Allah said, and this is the qiyas here, mentioning, this is alluding and referring to qiyas. كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقِ نُعِيدُ. Just as we produced the first creation, so shall we reproduce it. So the resurrection of bringing us back, okay, it's just very easy for Allah. Just like the first, how he created us in the first place. Just as we produced the first creation, we shall reproduce it. It's not difficult for us. It's not difficult. So Allah is now just telling us, reminding us, the origin, you know, how I created things. So bringing them back, again, it's not difficult. So just like that. So there is a comparison. And that's the qiyas. You know that one day, one of the mushriks, the pagans of Quraysh, maybe Ubay ibn Khalaf, he came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he brought with him a decayed bone, very decayed bone of an animal, and he crushed it in his hand, and now it is a powder. And he said, "Oh Muhammad, you claim that Allah will bring us back when we are like this," and he blew it. So the answer came from Allah, and Allah said, "وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا أَسِيَ خَلْقًا قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة. The meaning, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he coined for us. He said for us a parable by saying, who is going to bring these rotten, decayed bones back into life? And he forgot his creation. Had he paused and reflected, wait a minute, I was nothing, and he created me. Is it difficult for him to bring me back? No. Is it difficult for the manufacturer who made a particular product to make it again and again and again? No, because he has everything. He has the material, he has the all the blueprints, all the measures. If you want, for example, a car, classic car of the 40s or the 50s or the 60s, you can go to the factory and tell them, I want this. So we don't produce this model anymore. But if you want, because we have to allocate manpower, and this, it will cost you a lot of money. You don't mind, so okay, fine. They will pull out all the documents and all the prototypes, and they will produce that car for you. This is what human beings can do. How about the Creator? How about the Creator? So Allah says, كَمَا بَدَعْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُ. So they, Allah created, compared the resurrection to the first of the creation. You want to know that there will be resurrection? It's not difficult. كَمَا بَدَعْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ. So this decomposed bodies, decayed bodies will be resurrected, just as we created them in the first place. So here Allah is also saying that there is comparison, and that is the qiyas. Something you don't know to something you know. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Quran is full of these verses that allude and refer to the comparison, the qiyas. Allah says in Surah Fatir, and I really I really recommend that Talib al-Ilm, the beginner, to read this beautiful book. شرح الأصول من علم الأصول شرح الأصول من علم الأصول very beautiful, very simple, black and red by our Sheikh bin Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى. And I think you might find it you may find it also in the net in a PDF form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والله الذي أرسل الرياح فتثير سحابا فسقناه إلى بلد ميت فأحيينا به الأرض بعد موتها كذلك النشور. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله. الله سيد. And it is Allah who sends the winds, which then stir up. They were forming clouds, stir up clouds. And then we drive them to a lifeless land, giving life to the earth after it is death, after its death. Similar is the resurrection. Comparison between the fall of the rain on a barren land, giving it life, bringing out the vegetation, when it was dry, when it was totally lifeless, and now the earth and the land is revived and enlivened, and it is totally green, though it was dead, lifeless. So Allah is saying, you know what happens to a lifeless land when the water falls on it, giving life to the earth after its death. Similar is the resurrection. You are dead. You will be just brought back in. You will be brought back into life, just like I gave life to the lifeless land. Lifeless land. So this is a comparison between the barren land and the resurrection. So, another form of qiyas. Just in the same way, I gave life to the lifeless land, I give life to the dead bodies. And subhanAllah, in the Sunnah, in the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ said that before we come out from our graves, what will happen in the graves? All the bones will be reformed, recreated, and then they will be put together. So the skeleton will be formed. Then the skeleton, the bone, the frame of bones will be clothed, covered with flesh. Then the sky will rain water. But it is not water, normal water. It is like the seminal fluid, like the water of men. So the graves are acting like wombs. Then the souls will be reunited with the bodies. Then the graves will open and will come out from the graves. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in the same way and giving this comparison, which is qiyas. Wallahu alladhi arsala riyaha fatuthiru sahaba. See the beauty of the Quran. And he is teaching us and he is giving us signs and hints. What is the role of the wind? When the wind blows. Once I saw a documentary film, okay, on the net. They are saying, they are showing you how the clouds are formed in the Sahara Desert, or the sands that are particles. The wind is blowing in the Sahara Desert, and then it is taking the clouds, and they fall on the forest in the Mississippi, the Amazon. So there is role. Everything Allah created has a function, and it plays its role. Allah created everything in order and balance. For example, earthquakes, volcanoes, why do they happen? They happen because it should happen. Because the earth, the belly of the earth, the center of the earth is boiling and pressure is building up. So this pressure is building up. If it didn't find a way, a relief to come out, vent, the earth will explode. So what is better for us, human beings? For the earth to explode and all of us die, or to have a crack and things will come out and then it will cool down? Yes, some people will die, no doubt. But the rest will survive. So everything happens on our planet, there's wisdom behind it. Wisdom. For us as Muslims, those who die because of the eruption of a volcano or earthquake, they are martyrs, shuhada. Our Prophet ﷺ said, they are martyrs, shuhada. Alhamdulillah. So everything happens in Allah's kingdom, there's a wisdom behind it. So Allah says, Allah الذي أرسل الرياح. Allah who sends the wind. But to thir. See, this is the function of the wind. To thir, excites, stir up the clouds. You don't see the clouds, how they are moving, huh? Going up and down. And the wind is stirring them. And then, negative charges, positive charges, and you will see the lightning, etc. Because of this collision. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ فَتُثِيرُ صَحَابًا. Then Allah said, فَسُقْنَاهُ إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. The clouds are driven. And who? There is an angel behind it. Who's driving the clouds? And who's in charge of the rain? Mikael, Michael. فَسُقْنَاهُ إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. Then we drive them, the clouds, loaded with water. إِلَى بَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. The lifeless land. فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. So the rain brings the life. The water from the sky, like the seminal fluid, gives life also to the dead bodies inside the graves. The rain falls, souls are reunited, graves are opened. فَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. We drive them to a lifeless land, giving life to the earth after its death. Then Allah said, after he mentioned all this, كَذَلِكَ النُّشُورُ. This is now something you know it. You see it. Resurrection, you don't see it. So he's telling you, similar is the resurrection. Similar is the resurrection. So there is a comparison. And that is qiyas. And in the sunnah, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال جاءت امرأة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن أمي ماتت وعليها صوم نذر أفأصوم عنها؟ قال أرأيت لو كان على أمك دين فقضيتيه أكان يؤدي ذلك عنها؟ قالت نعم. قال فصومي عن أمك. The meaning, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما reported, a woman came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, my mother has died and there's due from her a fast of vow. Should I fast on her behalf? Thereupon, the Prophet ﷺ said, you see that if your mother had died in debt, would it not have been paid on her behalf? If your mother had died in debt, would it not have been paid on her behalf? She said, yes. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then said, observe fast on behalf of your mother. Here, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made the comparison between the debt for human beings and debt one owes towards his creator. Debt and debt. Yes. So he told her, what do you think? Because he is asking, my mother passed away and she made nazar, vow. And she didn't fulfill the vow, the nazar. Can I make it? Fasting. And the Prophet ﷺ said, من مات عليه صيام صام عنه ولي. Someone passed away and he or she has days of fast, he didn't or she didn't make them, then the inheritors should fast on his behalf. And especially if it is nazar, if it is Ramadan, they have other options. They can give expiation, feeding the people, the poor, or they can fast. For example, someone, his father or his mother passed away, and there are 10 days of fasting or fast. She or he didn't fast. And he or she had 5 children. So everyone can fast 2 days and enough. That's it. But if it is nazar, you have to fast. So here she is asking, so the Prophet ﷺ, he wants to make it clear to her. So that's why he gave her this picture, this scenario. If your mother owes people money and she died, are you going to clear her debt or not? He said, yes. Okay, so now your mother has debt for her Lord. Days, debt and debt. So he's making the comparison, and that is qiyas. Then he said, Allah's debt has more precedence than the debt of human beings. So you need to clear your mother's debts. أَرَأَيْتِ لَوْ كَانَ عَلَى أُمِّكِ دَيْنٌ You said yes. I said then, clear the debt of your mother, the days that she didn't fast. Another hadith, of course, the hadith about this woman is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon, Bukhari and Muslim. Another hadith, an Abi Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله إن امرأتي ولدت غلاما أسود. This is beautiful hadith. Listen to it. غلاما أسود. قال هل لك من إبل؟ قال نعم. قال فما ألوانها؟ قال حمر. قال هل فيها من أورق؟ قال نعم. قال فأن ذلك؟ قال لعله نزعه عرق. قال فلعل ابنك هذا نزعه عرق صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, a man said, O Allah's messenger, my wife has given birth to a black son. He asked the Prophet, have you any camels? He replied, yes. He asked, what is their color? He replied, they are red. He asked, is there a dusky, like the dusky, dark one among them? He replied, yes. He asked, how has that come about? He replied, it is perhaps a strain to which it has reverted. That means heredity. He said, it is perhaps a strain to which this son of yours has reverted. Agreed upon. Beautiful hadith. Very beautiful. The man in another narration, he said, oh, Prophet of Allah, do you see my complexion, my skin white? He said, yes, my wife like that, but my son is black. So here, the man was doubting his wife, her modesty. He's insinuating that she cheated on him. How? How come that I have a black son? And people really, they jump the gun and they start backbiting, slandering, spreading rumors. So see how the Prophet ﷺ addressed this issue. And he gave a soothing answer to the man. So he asked him, Halaka min Ibil, he's a Bedouin. So he asked him something he knows. He said, of course. He said, what are their colors? He said, they are red. So now the colors are red, males and females. So male is red, female is red, the camels and the she-camels are red. So naturally you expect the offspring red. So he said, has fiha min awraq, is there a gray one among them? The mother is red, the father is red, and the offspring, the new camel, is dusky, dark. He said, yes. He said, فَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ, how come? Mother is red, father is red, the offspring is dusky or dark. So the Bedouin started to think. Oh, he said, لَعَلَّهُ, perhaps. نَزَعَهُ عِرْقُ, I can understand. Perhaps in the ancestors, the father of either the camel or the she-camel, okay? One she-camel or one camel was black. لَعَلَّهُ نَزَعَهُ عِرْقُ. And you know, in biology, the law of Mendel, okay, the law of Mendel, where he mentioned the traits or the characteristics, the qualities, as dominant and recessive. So some qualities and strains or traits are recessive, but they will pop up at one time. They are not dominant, but they can appear. So here, the Prophet ﷺ asked him. So he said, لَعَلَّهُ نَزَعْهُ عِرْقُ. It's perhaps a strain to which it has reverted. This is their heredity in the family. There's some, one camel was dusky, dark. So the Prophet ﷺ said, it's perhaps a strain to which this son of yours has reverted. One of your ancestors, your forefathers, had darker skin. Go and check. So the man now cooled down. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ used the qiyas, making comparison between this child, the case of this recessive quality that popped up, and what happens in the camels. That is the yes. That is the yes. And of course, the man was happy now, and all the doubts vanished. They are not there. And I conclude with the true story also happened. They said a man married a woman, and he had fair skin, his wife like that. And they don't know, the family of the girl, they don't know about his family and grandfathers, etc., about his lineage. And the girl became pregnant, and he was away for a while, and she gave birth to a boy, and with darker skin. Now the family, they don't know what to say. And you know, people, they talk. And he arrived from the other place where he was traveling, so he arrived. And they told him that Allah blessed you with the baby boy. And he started asking, I want to see my child. And they say, okay, wait, wait. They are perplexed, confused, the parents. They don't know what to do. The child is black. He's black skin. So they said, let him see the baby. We know he's going to divorce our daughter. So what? To their surprise, when he saw the baby, he laughed and cried, started kissing the baby, and saying, you are like my grandma, my grandmother, my grandmother. Because his grandmother had dark skin. So we learn from this hadith many things. Yes, qiyas is valid, and the Prophet ﷺ used it here. But also, see how the Prophet ﷺ addressed this sensitive issue. So we should not accuse people, suspect them of something like this happens. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge in the deen. May Allah azza wa jal keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts on the haq. And may Allah unite our ummah on the haq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khayra. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. To Sheikh Salam, it's time for question and answer session. Apologies from the host. He wasn't able to come back. With your permission, can we take some questions?
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can Sheikh please share hadiths that suggest that dancing is haram, even amongst females where there is no music?
The dancing women in weddings, here we have to elaborate. type of dance which is, it's not, exciting and triggering desires. For example, the belly dancing, that's not okay. Okay, because you are showing your body and you are swaying your bodies, etc. Or other types of dance, you know what I'm talking about. Types of dance, they are erotic. So they trigger desires. Okay, so this is definitely not allowed. Because the Muslim actually has to remain modest. But there are types of dance. Women, they clap or they make some movements, okay, while they are dressed and they are, the clothes are covering. Because you see what happens in weddings. Women, they are dressed. Most of their bodies are shown. The breast is shown, a slit on the right, and the thigh is shown. And what is this? This is not a Muslim. I should not be like that. Oh, only they are Muslim women. What are you talking about? You know what is the awrah of the Muslimah in front of another Muslimah? What's the awrah that a Muslim woman can show to another Muslim woman? Is what she can show to her mahram, to her son, to her brother, those who are mahram forever for her. So what are the parts you can show to your mahram? Your hair. They say the ulama, the places where ornaments can be worn. Ornaments, some women, they put something on the hair, on the neck, necklace, earrings, bangles, bracelets, anklets. These are the places where you put ornaments. That's what you show. You don't show your breast to your mahram. You don't show your thigh to your mahram. So this is what can be shown to another Muslim woman. Providing on the condition that this Muslimah that you are, you removed your hijab and parts of your hands are shown and your feet, you know you trust her. She is trustworthy. She will not describe you to anyone. Then there's no harm, there's no problem. But what the reality is, many Muslim women, they describe. And when they come back, they give a report to their husbands, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Oh, today, so-and-so was crazy. He was the star. He was the focus. He is there in the limelight. The way she danced, the way she dressed, and her husband closing his eyes and fantasizing, and he's saying, yeah, go ahead. This is haram. The body of the Muslimah in front of another woman, not Muslimah. The awrah is the whole body. You cannot show your hair to a non-Muslim woman or your neck. Just like another man. You treat her like another man. What is the illah? Qiyas here. What is the illah? What's the cause? What is the reason? They said, non-Muslim woman will describe the Muslimah to others. That is the reason. So now if we have a Muslimah by name, and he describes. The ruling is the same. You treat this Muslimah like a man. Like a man. You don't show anything to her. So, when it comes to the dancing in weddings, the reality, the way women dance, just like the kafir, as if she's in the nightclub. Yeah, like in a nightclub. I hope this is clear to all the sisters.
JazakAllah khair, clear, inshallah. Okay. Sheikh, would you please explain the meaning of the saying of Allah? وَيَكُونُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا and the messenger be a witness over you from Al-Baqarah 143.
On the day of resurrection, this ummah, the Muslim nation, will be witness over the rest of mankind, because the followers of other prophets, they will deny and say no one came to us, or the prophet didn't teach us this and that. They are belying their own prophets. So Allah will make this ummah to testify and bear witness that this prophet delivered the message. So this ummah is shahud, eyewitness, over the rest of the nations, and the prophet is a witness over us. And that's why on the day of resurrection, he said, on that day, don't come to me, addressing his family, relatives. Don't people, they come with righteous deeds, and you come with your lineage or your closeness to me. So lineage and being from my family, that will not bring you closer to Allah. Man abqa bihi amaluhu lam yusra' bihi nasaba. If you are delayed because of your lack of doing righteous deeds, okay, your nasab, your lineage will not bring you closer. So the prophet is a witness over us. And you know in the hadith that those who will be pulled away from his fountain, because the people, they didn't abide by what he left them with, the sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain treading on his path and following his footsteps. Ameen. Next question, please.
Ameen. Can you give me the meaning of the word nazila?
The voice really is not clear. Something maybe with your mic, or keep it away a little bit.
Can you give me the meaning of the word nazila?
Nazila, okay.
Yeah.
Nazila is something when, of course, linguistically, nazila means something happened. Nazala. Okay. Something fell down on you. Affliction, catastrophe, calamity hit you. That's the meaning of nazila. So when something happens to the Muslim, like earthquakes, volcanoes, war, famine, these are called nawazil, calamities. So when the Muslims are struck with calamities in Nawazil, they have to repent and turn to Allah, because these earthquakes and volcanoes, and these are signs, and Allah, he threatens us with such signs, telling us these are messages, warnings to tell us, come back to me. Okay? Come back to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to repent and turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this, of course, shows the weakness of human beings. Human beings are so weak. Okay. in just a few minutes or less than a minute, the whole town is gone. So man is so weak. So that's why we need to be always turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and crying to him and asking him for forgiveness and making qunut. There's something called qunut nazila in all the five prayers. You can make qunut, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed the qunut when some of the Sahaba were martyred and killed by the enemies of Islam who betrayed them. So 1 month he was performing the qunut, and that is to, if it is war or something, we, in the last rak'ah, before we go to ruku', we raise our hands and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy the enemies, to weaken the enemies, to protect the Muslims from the enemies. If they are prisoners, Muslim prisoners in the hands of the enemy, we ask Allah to facilitate their release and should be freed, etc. If it is earthquakes and volcanoes, we are asking Allah to accept those who died as martyrs and to forgive them, and to ask Allah to lift up his anger and to save us from his anger and his wrath. So that is known as Nazila and the Qunut of Nazila. I hope this is clear. Next question, please.
That was very clear. Can we give charity money for building a masjid under the pretext treat your sick by giving charity?
Would you mind repeating?
Yes, okay. Can we give charity, sadaqah, for building a masjid under the pretext of the saying of treat your sick by giving charity?
You are giving sadaqah to those who are in the masjid? You mean the poor? No,
building a masjid.
Building a masjid?
Yes,
yes. Okay, so you are giving sadaqah and building the masjid?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and then they're asking, can they give this under the saying from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, treat your sick by giving charity?
Yeah, you can. Giving charity to, but in building a masjid, a sadaqah, yes, you can. And it can fall under treat your sick people by giving sadaqah. This is sadaqah and that is sadaqah. There's no problem, inshallah. There's no harm. May Allah accept. Next.
Ameen, jazakallah khair. How should a single mother support her son who will be entering teenage years? Alhamdulillah, his studious. Jazakallah khair. How should a single mother support her son who will enter teenagehood? How should a single mother support her son? As in, if the father is absent, how shall she support her son mentally, physically, Islamically? I think that's the question.
A mother who's single, she has a child
who's about to be a teenager.
A teenager, and she's asking how she can bring this child Islamically?
Yeah, well, she's saying support her son, so I'm assuming Islamically, in general.
If I get the gist of the question, because I told you that the voice to me is not that clear. Okay, something maybe wrong with the mic, or something wrong with my ears, I don't know. If I got the question correct, single mother, she has a child who's a teenager, and she, from what I understood, she's the one who's looking after this child, and now she's asking how can she fulfill her obligations and bring up this child in the right way and Islamically, so that this child will grow up, as a pious, righteous child. You should fear Allah to the best of your ability. May Allah give you strength, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the ability to bring up this child Islamically. And now he is a teenager, and that is really difficult if you didn't start from the beginning. And this is the problem with many parents. They ignore the children, and now they are grown up, and then they started asking them to pray and to follow the Islamic teaching, and it is too late. Too late. Okay. Okay, I'm free. I'm not convinced. And I received a message from a sister. Her son became Christian. And she's crying. Christian. He left Islam and became Christian. Is it because Christianity is right, correct belief? No, definitely not. Christianity says God died, God is three, that's what Christianity talks about. Christianity says every child who is pure and clean, when he is born, he is full. He comes along with the sin, inherited sin. So he will go to hell. So all human beings will go to hell. Except if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Otherwise, all human beings will go to hell. Because this sin that Adam committed in heavens is inherited. Which means those who died even before Jesus Christ will go to hell. Because he came to redeem humanity. How about those who died before his coming? Before he was born? They will go to hell? That is Christianity. So what is there that can attract a Muslim to Christianity? But because this child was not brought up Islamically, was not educated, he was not given the immune by his mother and his father, he was not taught the aqeed and the belief. So he came across Christians, maybe, or his friends, or someone worked on him, brainwashed him, and filled his head with doubts. So he left Islam. So my dear brothers and sisters, start bringing up your children from the beginning. Beginning. That's why Islam says, مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء سبع فاضربوهم عليها وهم أبناء عشر فرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. So command your children to pray when they reach the age of seven and discipline them if they don't pray when they reach the age of 10 and separate them in their beds in the same room, the boys and the girls. They not sleep together at the age of 10. So a child started to pray when he reaches the age of 7. By 15, the age of 15, normally that is the age of puberty, where the boy will start having wet dreams and the girl will get her menses. 7 to 15, 8 years. So training. So he will never leave the salah after that, inshallah. But you left him. Until now, he's a man, or she's a woman. And say, my son, pray. No. My daughter, put hijab on. No, I'm free. Why should I put? All my friends, all the girls are without hijab. Why should I put it on? But if you brought her from the beginning, she was very young, getting her used to the scarf comes part of her personality. Now she has no problem of wearing it and continue to wear it. So may Allah give you this strength. So try your best, the dua, and be a good role model, a good mother, and get closer to your son or your daughter. Open. This is another problem. Parents, they have to open their hearts for their children. We have to make them love Islam, love it. To love Allah, we need to educate them. Islam is so beautiful. But the problem that many of us, we don't know how to present Islam to our children. And we are not good role models. They don't see the implementation. They don't see that we practice what we are telling them. So first the parents, they have to be role models for their children. They should not lie. They should, whatever they tell them, the children are observant. They're watching. Is he or she practicing what he or she is telling me to do? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the questioner this tawfiq and the help and the strength to bring her child Islamically. And may Allah bless you and protect you. Ameen. Next question, please.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. These days, all sorts of religious praying gatherings are held, for example, weekly on a Thursday evening. Durood Sharif, for example. What's the Islamic rulings on these gatherings? Are they allowed? Jazakallah khair.
Many times, my dear brothers and sisters, I requested that the question should be straight to the point. Straight. Okay. What's the ruling on this matter? Now, this, I think, the root that people, they get together and they make salah upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or something, the Salah Ibrahimiyah. What this gathering for?
They've only put praying, just praying, gatherings for praying.
Gathering of what?
Prayers for religious prayer gatherings is what they've said.
The prayer, okay, so this is Sufi gathering, it seems.
Praying gatherings.
Yes. Okay, praying gathering, okay.
Yes, okay, they've answered me. Yes, pray durood on our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
To get together and making dhikr collectively, this is bid'ah. This is bid'ah innovation. Don't do it, stop practicing it. Next question, please.
That was the final question, Sheikh Salman. She'd like to conclude. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you, may Allah protect you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us to remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah guide our ummah to the haqq May Allah unite our hearts and heart. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.